Okay, Ron, thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us. And we had a good supper, so we're ready to go.
That's right.
We're still in 1 Timothy, and we made it through verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and so we're going to pick up with 15 tonight and go as far as we can go, which is not going to be very far because there's two or three verses of scripture here that are really, really full of things that we need to talk about, as they all are. But, you know, these are some that kind of jumped out with us, and some do and some not as much as others, but here we're kind of loaded down with these verses tonight. And so let's just go ahead and get going and get clicking. We're going to start with verse 15. And here we go. Oh, this is study 117. Ron will give you the date, so I'll just give you the number. And so we've done, this will be 117 in this series of study. So, and I'm going to read it to you like I always do out of the King James Version. Read my notes, and I'm going to do the Workman's Interlinear and take out of the Koine Greek to the English that Jack Everly did in his book. And then he always has scripture verses, or most of the time, he has scripture verses that are important to what we're dealing with here. And so we'll do them too, like we always do. And it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Okay, so that is out of the King James Version. And so I'll just read you my notes. And we start off with a faithful saying here. And this is first of five in the pastoral epistles. We have this one here, and then 1 Timothy 3:1, 1 Timothy 4:9, 2 Timothy 2:11, and Titus 3:8. And they're the words of true faith. And worthy, it says, and worthy there is the word axios, Strong's 574, I believe it might be 514. Writing has then got cold. And axios is deserving, suitable, comparable, due reward, or meet, or fit, of all acceptations. And acceptations in the Greek is apodousi. I'll butcher that up for you. That Christ Jesus came, and he came as God's man into this world, or into the world, or cosmos, if you will. Cosmos has created, ordered, and arranged. And not as man has called. But it is now considered to be chaos because of the sin that came into it. And this for certain was not what God ever created. And it was created to save sinners, of whom, as a sinner, I, Paul, am protos, or chief. And here it is, foremost, the foremost one, or first in position. We can find that in John 17:27. and as one of the places, and then there's others too that goes along with that. But let's go back to Jack's rendering on verse 15. Out of the Koine Greek, it says this: faithful the word, and of all acceptation, worthy that Christ Jesus came into the world system, sinners to save, of whom first am I. And then into the more frequent English is faithful, the word, and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world system to save sinners, of whom I am first. And Jack says this in his notes: there is no question in Paul's mind that Christ came into the cosmos to save sinners. The dramatic nature of his salvation may here have accentuated this belief, yet there is no indication in Scripture that Paul was preaching dramatic displays of God's power to accompany salvation experiences. Paul has been saved quite dramatically. He was the first of the believers who was given the message of the mystery. Ephesians 3:9 makes that clear, that Paul was originally given this commission to proclaim. Therefore, he was a first in this regard. No one was given the message of the mystery before Paul. And then he gives us about five places to look. They're in three different books. And so let's do that as we go along. Okay, I already told you about John 11, so let's turn back to John 11. And and get that going. In John 11, John 11, 27. Okay. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so that's, I can't read you very much out of this other than that, because the cat scratched my page and part of it's missing. But I wasn't going to let that go by. Okay, then let's go to John 12 while we're here. And that's verse 46. John 12:46 says this: I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so that was Jesus speaking there. And said that he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. That was on page 1552, by the way. Okay. Let's go back to Luke. I didn't get all this in order, which I usually do. Luke 9:56. I like to get the verses that he put, and I guess he put them in whatever way he wanted to put them, but I like to start from the early and go to the latter. 9:56 says this: for the Son of Man, and that's on page 1462, For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And I'll just go ahead and read 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. So he picked up one there that believed on what he was just saying. Okay. There's another one on Luke 19:10. So turn with me over to 19:10. And that was on page 1490. And it's the last verse in the Companion Bible on 19:10. It's the last verse that page on 1490. It says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then the next one is in Ephesians. Ephesians 3:8. Colossians, Ephesians 3:8, and that's on page 1764. And it says this, Unto me, this is Paul, Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Okay, so that is what we get from Ephesians 3:8 and 3:9. And so that was part of the faithful sayings there. Now, verse 16. Verse 16, back into the King James Version. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering. Why? For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And the word howbeit is Strong's 235 in the Greek. And it's pronounced the way I would pronounce it, was Allah. And it means nevertheless. For this cause, on account of being chief, in verse 15, where he says, in first or position, or I am chief, that word protos. So in 15, we get this rendering of on account of me being chief. I obtained mercy. That in me first, Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering. The long-suffering there is 31:15 in the Strong's. And it means to bear, to suffer long, have long patience, to patiently endure. And he was suffering there for a pattern. And for a pattern there is to them that should hereafter or are about to believe on him, Christ, to life everlasting. So we got there the situation that Paul says, because of him being chosen, he obtained mercy, that in me first, that Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering. And after Christ, and he also gave that pattern for us and for them, and especially to Paul, which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And you couldn't say that Paul was left out of that, because he certainly was. His list of sufferings were great. And so therefore, the sufferings of Christ were not finished, because it was pretty much given to Paul to finish up those sufferings of Christ, because we don't suffer the way Paul had to suffer.
And he states that in Colossians 1.
Yeah. And so that was part of the plan that came forth in 16. These patterns are there, and they're real. And we're gonna read about some more of those a little bit later in the next verse. So let's get on to the verse 16 and look at it in the Koine Greek. It says, "But rather through this I was shown mercy, that in me first might show forth Christ Jesus the whole long-suffering toward pattern of those being about to believe upon," and I'll add "to him" there, "or him unto life age." And it says, "But rather through this I was shown mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth the whole long-suffering pattern toward those being about to believe upon him unto age life." And Jack says this in his notes, "Indeed, Paul was shown great mercy, that he might be the one to show forth God's great long-suffering in choosing a body for the Christ." Paul was the pattern for this great long suffering. It is the appropriate word for God revealed this as the last part of his magnificent plan. Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. "Although there were others who joined the ministry with him," Ephesians 4:11 and 3:5, that Paul was the first of the pattern. Many are following the calling today into these great truths of the word first revealed by Paul. And there's not but a couple of three verses here that we need to look at. And one of them is in 2 Thessalonians, and the other one is in 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Trying to find it. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Okay. So it starts on page 1788. 1:9. It says, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you."
1 Thessalonians. Did you say 2 Thessalonians? Or 1
Thessalonians? Yeah, 2 Thessalonians.
I had already posted it, and what you were reading did not match up. It wasn't jiving up too good.
2 Thessalonians 1:9.
Sorry about that.
"Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So, talking about those that did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Okay, we got that. Now 2 Timothy. These first and seconds get me messed up sometimes. 2 Timothy 1:1 and 1:10. Maybe we can get this without problems. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, but it now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And I also put down there, that was a full stop. But let's go on to verse 11. It says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And certainly that was he. Okay. Let's go back to 1 Timothy again. In Deuteronomy 17, because this is a long one. And I want to add something to it, too, as we go through in the scriptures that Jack wanted us to go through. And I'm going to expand on one of them. And it says this in the King James Version, "Now unto the King immortal, invisible, the only God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen." I left out the word wise. Because truly, there's not but one God. And that has been put in there by some reason of another verse of Scripture. And I didn't read it that way, but I felt that we're talking here about the God of the universe. And there is really no other gods. All of those are man-made.
Yep. Or false.
So, you know, you can look at the wise any way you want to look at it, and certainly he's wise. And that's not a real disclaimer, but we're talking now about a God that despised all the other things that man put forth in his way of making this world bad, giving us all this bad stuff. That was man, not God. It says in my notes, "Now to the King eternal." Let's just call it the King of the ages, if you will, immortal. Immortal is in the Strong's is 862. Aphorthos, meaning undecaying or uncorruptible. And this was the only time that immortal was used in the New Testament. Immortal. And it means undecaying or uncorruptible. uncorruptible. If God is eternal, then there is no aging. There is no corruption. Everything is the way it's meant to be with God, as being King of the ages. And it says, invisible. And invisible is artos in the Strong 517. And I'll just give you my idea of that, because it's the invisible things. And I want to ask a question with this too. Invisible are things that now is beholden from mankind. When God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, they were created to live forever. Did they see God as being spirit? Or at that point in time, I think they had no blood. And I might be wrong, but that's my thought on that, because the things that happened shortly thereafter seems that if they communed with God and God was telling them what their position was, then think about this for a minute. If Adam was still in a situation where he could live forever, when God allowed him dominion, and he named all the living things upon the earth, do you think he had that kind of knowledge at that point? If he wasn't immortal in that sense? At that time? You ever thought about that? Because it seemed like everything that he named fit that descriptive in that point. Okay. Immortal, invisible. And I think after that, then everything that God, the people that God dealt with, didn't see him because they couldn't stand the power that was there, unless God somehow or another shielded man from that. And I'll tell you another thing, the Apostle Paul, when he saw Jesus Christ, he wasn't shielded from that. And he had problems with it the rest of his life. Okay. When Christ comes back in Thessalonians, how's that going to work with the world? You know, there's lots of questions we got here. I don't have all the answers. I don't have any of them, hardly. But the only God be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen. Because he is the King of the age. He's the King of this age. As long as the world is here, he is going to be king. And it doesn't say anything about the earth being dissolved. Other things, yes. But the earth, no. Because he made it for the angels. And they sang with joy when they realized they were going to have a place of their own. And then they didn't. Because of what Satan did. Okay. The only God wise is this word was added from Romans 16:27. God be honor and glory. From other places in Scripture describing divine glory and unto reference to mankind as to good and evil forever and ever to the ages of the ages. This is, that word is, or these words in prepositional phases. And this is one of the 37 places rendered just that, forever and ever. And it ends in the amen, or so be it. Okay. We're going to start with Exodus, and we're going to end up with Revelation. So, well, get your fingers ready. Want to go to Exodus 15:18 on page 94. And some of them are very short. This is a short one. And it says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. This is another one of those. There that we just talked about a little bit. Prepositional phases. Okay. 15:18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Okay, let's go to the next one, which is 1 Samuel. If I didn't make a mistake, 1 Samuel 13:13. And that is on page 382. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. Full stop. Okay. When Samuel would tell somebody something like that, it was yea and amen, because he was God's man. He had been from since his birth. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him, man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. A man of God speaking to a king that knew what he had done. Think about that for a minute. Okay? Let's go to Psalms 9:7. That's on page 729. And 729 is the page. But the Lord shall endure forever. Full stop. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people and of righteousness. Okay. That's what we get out of Psalms Okay, we want to go next to the book of John. To the book of John. And we're going to want to go to John 5. And my cat didn't scratch that page. That'd probably kill the cat if he had. John 5. And I'm going to start with verse 31. And I want to read down through 47. We're looking at 44. But to me, the book of John was written in a way that all people could see and understand God and His wisdom. And here we have proof because we have witnesses. And when people ask me, what book do you need to go to for an unbeliever or a new believer to get started? And that happened a couple of times this year already. And I said, well, the book of John is a good place to start. And John 5 is one of the better places that you can get this understanding. Okay. 31 through 35 is the witness of John. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now that was John's witness. Okay, we're going to the next one. And 36 says this, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Okay. 38.
37, yeah.
And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, in whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Okay. Then you have the word of God here. 39 and 40. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now this is the Father's. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And this is Moses' witness. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? So you've got the witness of John, you've got the Father's witness, you've got Scripture's testimony, and you've got again the Father's witness of the Son, and you've got the witness of Moses. How can you read that and not get some understanding of what this book is all about?
All of him to show that he was who he claimed to be.
Right. And how he got here.
Yep.
And all of the things of that. Okay. So that goes with the John 5 portion of that. And I wanted to read that. Let's go back to Romans 1. Let's go on over to Romans 1. Get out of Acts. Seems like Acts is forever. Okay, Romans 1, let's go back to 21, 22, and 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things. Now, Romans 16. Paul wasn't going to leave it there. In Romans 16, last page. And I'm going to read 25, 26, and 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only, wise be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. There's your verse of scripture where the wise came in. Okay. Galatians 1:5. And again, it's short, kind of like it was in Exodus. I just hate to read a little piece like this. Let's go to 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's the other, another one of the 37, forever and ever. Amen. That is in Galatians. Okay. And I want to go from Galatians to Philippians. In Philippians 4:20, okay, no, I'm still on the wrong page. Philippians 4:20 is this, yeah. Paul says this, I have all and abound, I am full, having received Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the God of the ages. You can't deny that. It goes on and on that way. That was Philippians. Okay, Colossians 1:15. Just turn the page if you got a companion Bible. It's 1:15. It says, he who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Okay. He stood before him as God's man on the earth, and they could look upon him. And Paul tells us in Colossians that he was the image of the invisible God, the first of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that on earth, invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And it took us almost a whole night to get through that verse of scripture when we did it.
Yep.
And I won't forget that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a deep verse.
Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. If I can make it to 2 Thessalonians here. Did we read that before? I don't think so.
I don't think that particular one.
Not tonight. I don't think we did before. We may have read it before. It says, talking about...
We did. Chico said we did.
Yeah. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believe in that day. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Okay, let's see. Second Timothy 1:1 is next. We're getting there. Second Timothy 1:1, page 1809. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. In 1:10. Which is in Christ Jesus, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For unto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Okay. I want to go to Hebrews next. And this is what Jack left for us to look at. Hebrews 1:2.
You can't read two without reading one.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay. And then we want to go to Hebrews 11:3. So if you're there, turn over a few pages and go to 11:3, which is, let me go back one page, 11:3 on page 1840. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
That's ages, incidentally.
Ages, yeah.
The worlds are ages.
Or made perfectly fit by the Word of God. The ages. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, you realize there that the earth as created went through a disturbing time in the deep in Genesis 1. And so, even though it might have been, perfectly fit to begin with, but then it has changed a lot. And being made for, evidently for the angels who shouted for joy when they heard that it was being created, it never got to be that way because Satan's rebellion. And Satan's rebellion created a problem even for them too. And that's the reason some of them came here as being in the deep, and some of them did not. And so that's something that we need to learn there too and understand. And then also 11:27. This is what Jack wanted to see also in Hebrews 11:27 on the next page. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And of course, that was Moses. Moses was at the burning bush. Moses seen the bush on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Moses had already understood the power of God with a much greater thing than he could he could not see God because of being having all this power. But God talked to Moses. He couldn't do it face to face, but he talked to Moses in the way that kept Moses from being destroyed in that situation. And so that's what we have there in Hebrews. And the only one left, or the only two left, is in Revelations. So turn with me to Revelations 5. Revelations 5, 12 and 13. Well, let's just read 11, 12, and 13. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such that are in the seas and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, having read that, let's go to 15. Chapter 15 and verse 3. We go back one page. Okay, it says, let's just start with 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For in them is filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw that it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the numbers of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. And for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. So that is the King Eternal, and the thoughts there that go with the King of the Age. And he is the only God. And all the rest of the things that they call gods were not God made. They were man made.
Amen.
Of man's ideas of things. Because they couldn't see God, they made their own images. And so, because they couldn't see God, They just made up what they thought might work. How much time we got? Any?
It's 9:36.
Now that's it.
No, time,
well, that's a lot of
time flies and having fun, but there's a lot to that one.
That's
yeah.
a lot of information there, and when you get to one of these verses, it seems like, well, you know, it seems like, well, there may not be that much there to talk about, but when you go back and you look at that, what's being taught and what's being said, and young Timothy is getting this information that Paul didn't leave any stone unturned, hardly, because he knew that Timothy and others like Timothy would have to take up this mantle, and that the body of Christ, if it was going to be pleroma, if it was going to be filled, it was going to be done by those who believed the word. And that if they didn't believe the word, they didn't have any hope in the body of Christ if they couldn't accept the word of God. That was pretty clear and plain.
No, yeah.
And it says, but it's a great thing to get to the point in your life where it says, Lord, I believe that. I was going down the road in an old 62 Ford station wagon, eyes wide open, and it was on my mind what I had heard, and I said, Lord, I can believe that. I believe that. Take care of me.
Amen.
And that was in 1971. Been 50 years ago. Since August the 16th, 71. Been almost 50 and a half years. So it's been more than half my life that God has taken care of me. And he took care of me a long time before that.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be brought to my attention through the word of God that, yeah, now I see what he was doing for me, because he had a purpose for me.
Amen.
And I hope I'm fulfilling it. I'm not sure, but I'm doing what I believe that God asked me to do, because I'd never thought I'd had the opportunity to do this, ever. Thank you so much. God bless you.